insan, the human being, is a collection of requirements, demands, needs. We are dependent. Every moment, every second that passes, we are in the condition that we require something, we're in need of something. We're so dependent, we are so in need. And the amount we are in need, at the same time we are forced to ask. And there's no such person whose need can be fulfilled just like that. This is our wrong thought process, incorrect thought process, that if somebody is rich, his needs are fulfilled. And if he is more wealthy, he'll be more happy. That wealth is, and happiness is proportional to wealth, and that his desires and needs will be fulfilled. But in reality, an individual, a human being, is so much in need and dependent. Doesn't matter what level you're on, you could be the king, you could be the boss, but your desires and your needs are never fulfilled, never complete in what you want. And every person's needs, level of need, is different, is unique. Every person's level of need and want, once there was a situation that I went and visited some people who were quite wealthy, and I attended, visited, and those people who I were going to meet, they were quite wealthy, rich, they had a big house, sort of mansion type. And I realized before that you see where people live, you know, where they have big houses. And before that, there were some people living in a sort of shanty town, you can say, a little bit close to that vicinity. So when I went there, and as I was walking, or was I was traveling, and I heard some people, some children crying from the poorer area. And after that, there was a bit of an argument between the husband and the wife. The husband and wife, the poor souls, they were arguing. Though I stopped and I was listening. What's the reason here? And the wife was saying to her husband that, No, it's too difficult today. Now, how can we eat dry bread? The children today are saying that bring some onion, raw onion. We should break that and put that on the chapati so we can eat that. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So this was their big desire at that time. In their eyes, they considered this a severe situation. If we get some onion today, raw onion with our roti, chapati, bread, that's a big achievement. That was their desire. That was their need. And imagine how poor they are. That they are happy on this. That if we can get one chapati piece of bread and put some raw onion onto there, break it and eat it, that will be a great achievement for us. So that will be a fulfillment for us. Khair. So I left there and I went further, and those individuals who I had to go to meet, they were, as I said, wealthy, and I hadn't even entered into their home when in their house, by chance, I could hear the argument between the husband and the wife. I said, how can they be arguing or disputing? So I stopped and I heard, what's going on here? And there was a bit of bickering going on. And what was their argument about? The wife, Begum Sahiba, said, this can never be, you promised that this time, this year, the holiday will go on, we'll go to Paris. And you said that we'll book this hotel on the holiday. And what's the situation now? How can you say now that no, we're not going to Paris? This time we're going to Thailand. So look at the difference. Massive difference. I was lost. That I just came past the shanty town. That if we can get a bit of onion today to add to the bread. And here they're arguing that no, we're not going to Paris. We're going to Thailand. But you promised we're going to go to this hotel. How can you say this? And there's a big argument and a dispute going on. Khair. I silently moved on. And I said, subhanAllah, I'm going to go beyond this, and there'll be other people, bigger so-called in the dunya. Somebody will have a meeting or a conference. Or everywhere there will be a need, a call out, an announcement, a requirement. and then eventually everybody travels along that same road to the grave, and then the soil will fill our stomachs and nothing else. So to fulfill this requirement, to fulfill our needs, we do so much in this world. The objective of life today is this, that we can fulfill our needs. I can do this, I can accomplish this, or I can do this and that. And it's an ajeeb and unique sort of weird life that passes. And because in life nobody's needs are fulfilled completely, so eventually what happens, to try to fulfill the needs, a person then adopts haram methods, unlawful methods. He leaves the deen of Allah, he leaves salah, he doesn't differentiate between halal and haram. He, to complete his desires, fulfill his desires, he does wrong actions. And this is the habit of human being, and he forces himself to go down that road. And this is the most dangerous path. Most dangerous path. Now, if we can take this out of our system, alhamdulillah, then that human being who does that becomes a person rightfully owning, or rightfully he can deserve paradise. Jannati. Because his issue is finished. He has no need, he won't earn haram, he won't be desperate, he won't be upset, he won't have a demand or a need, he won't leave the deen of Allah. He won't run around looking for things, because he has no desire, he has no need, no want. So my brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told us a wazifa, a lesson. A lesson. Allah has given us a lesson to perform, to implement an action. Allah has given us Himself a wazifa. That if a person adopts this wazifa, this practice that I'm giving to you, then Allah says, I promise to you, I'm your Rabb. I promise to you, that whether you're a fakir, whether you're a amir, whether you're a king, whether you're poor or rich, your desires will never be fulfilled. That you can be a king, you think, oh, he's rich and he's enjoying himself. But if you go to him, there'll be a fight in that household. Yes? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, promises to every insan, to every mu'min, that I will give you one wazifa. If you do this wazifa, this lesson, this lesson, if you fulfill it, then I will fulfill your needs and your desire and your want. What a great point here. What a great point. So brothers, today I will tell you that wazifa, that lesson. Inshallah, if we travel on that wazifa, if we adopt that wazifa, then we'll become the kings of the kings. Kings of the kings. If we don't have any desires, then inshallah we'll cease doing haram actions. We won't turn our faces from the deen. We won't leave salah. We'll start being obedient servants of Allah. Because everything that happens to us in life, we'll just smile and we'll be happy, because we have no desire. We have no want. We will have no demands. And just like, for example, if there's something stuck in the throat and you have an operation, they extract it. Or for example, if they take the kidney out, then obviously there won't be an infection, because you haven't got a kidney to have an infection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this thought I've kept to myself, that no man of the world is such that his desires can be fulfilled ever. Maximum. But Allah ta'ala says, I am the one who fulfills. But yes, there's one wazifa I'll give to you. That whoever does this wazifa, who repeats this lesson, fulfills this lesson, implements this lesson or recitation, then Allah says, I am your kafil and I will fulfill all your desires. So brothers, will we do this wazifa? It's a big wazifa, big repetition. Will you have to sit all night? Will you do this action? No. You'll only have to do this for a little while. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't put a burden on any human being. Allah doesn't want us to be in distress. Allah has given us just 5 times salah. How many salah were given to us? Musa alayhi salam, 50. Yeah, Ummati Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 5 times salah. That's it. And it doesn't take long to pray salah. Yeah, and before salah, Allah's karam and mercy, that Allah says, I make you clean, pure, your hands, mouth, and neck, and ears, and nose, and everything becomes fresh. If you have an experience, you get up from your bed. And when you, after you get up from your bed, you just get up and you start doing things in the world. There will be a weird smell in your mouth and a tiredness and lethargy. But when you get up from your bed, you do miswak, you do sunnah method, wudu, throw the water on your face, read the dua, and the 8 doors of paradise will open. Subhanallah. So that's the beautiful start for the day. You become fresh with the wudu. That it's a miracle, it's kamal. So is this a ni'mah or is this a burden? Tell me. And we run from this.
No, I have to do wudu. Oh, I can't do it. And how can I pray salah? It's too hard. And Allah's big favor, ask those people who don't do wudu, their breath smells, their body feels tired, they don't feel like getting up. 30, 45 minutes it takes to get to become fully awake, but a person wakes up, he gets habitual, he goes and does wudu, puts the water on his face and prays salah. So the more that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given things to the people of Iman, it's not difficult. I'm telling you the truth here. It's not difficult. Is it difficult to keep the fast? No, in reality it's not. You don't even realize. Whoever you ask, say, 15 have passed. In reality, I can't even remember how many fasts have gone. They're just passing with the fadl of Allah. So this, in the beginning it looks difficult. People who don't accept Allah believe, oh, look at them. They're not eating. They're not drinking. Oh, it's hard. How can they be alive? They're mad. How can they be standing? And you're walking past and you hear this. You have a desire for tea or water. But alhamdulillah, when you don't drink, you think it's better not to. Yes, an example Allah Ta'ala has given in Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala has prepared us. That when Allah Ta'ala says that when I take the desires out of your heart, then you become a fasting person all your life. You have those characteristics. For whole life, you adopt, just like now we are in the condition of fast. Allah Ta'ala has extracted the desires. So if somebody has a desire for houses or cars, etc., Allah Ta'ala has taken that out. Just like when we're in fasting state, somebody is eating, someone's drinking, eating a burger. Well, you will not feel like to do the same actions. You just pass by quietly because your desires have been extracted. Is this not the condition of the fasting person? Of course it is. So where Allah Ta'ala inserts the desire, then Allah will make such a date, it will become difficult. Quickly give the adhan so that the date can go inside. We start looking at the watches. Because Allah Ta'ala, then when it's time for iftari, we have the desires coming back into our hearts and minds. So if Allah Ta'ala permanently extracts this from the heart, then what a great human being that person will become. When there's no desire, say, I don't need this car or house, somebody's son's like this. He will have no fikr. He'll have one fikr, one worry, one concern. Quickly, let me go and pray salah. Quickly go on tabligh or do chilla, do work of the deen, read Quran, do dhikr, alhamdulillah, remember Allah. And all other desires will end. People say, what's happened to him? He's detached himself. Say, nothing's wrong with him. He's done the wazifa, the recitation, the prayer, the lesson that Allah Ta'ala told him to do. So now this wazifa that Allah Ta'ala is telling us, this is for our life, that Allah Ta'ala is saying that your life will pass in a nice way. Don't make your life difficult. And then Allah Ta'ala sunnah, that we say, Allah, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah says, I don't give you any burden that you cannot bear. Ask those angels who have stood for how many years, decades, centuries, somebody's on ruku, sujood, nothing to eat, drink, no marriage. Allah's given us all the enjoyment. And just for 5 minutes, we have to come to the masjid, subhanAllah. And then the time finishes, Allah says, go into the world, seek and eat and drink and enjoy and just do my dhikr and don't worry about anything else, subhanAllah. Allah's given us free reign. Allah says, eat, drink, enjoy and see everything and do my dhikr. Allah says, here Jannah and in the hereafter Jannah for you. No worries. What a great, beautiful deen Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Beautiful deen. If we don't accept this deen properly, if we don't adopt the right path, we are in loss, that we are wretched in this world and we'll be wretched in the hereafter. How sad, how unfortunate. So first, nasiha, advice, brothers, all of us, let's do tawbah, repent in Ramadan. The 5 times salah we will not leave. That's it, that's all there is to Islam. Deen, 5 times salah, 5 times prayer. There's no other deen, is there? Allah has given us one hukam, pray salah 5 times a day. Pray salah, alhamdulillah. After that, don't commit the sin. Don't do an action that Allah says will give me displeasure, that will make me unhappy. That we say, for example, Allah says, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself in life. But don't do an action that will cause me displeasure, Allah Ta'ala says. Don't we say to our children, they go and eat and enjoy, but don't do actions that will give me pain, says the father and mother. So Allah says, don't do bad things. Yes, Allah says that I'm going to give you reward. I'm your Rabb. I'm your creator. Read 5 times, alayhi salah. I'll give you food, enjoyment, ash in this world, that you'll forget that you're going to become. When you come back to me thereafter, I'll give you even more enjoyment. Allah says, so can we do these 2 actions? One is that 5 times salah, timely manner. And secondly, let's not do any action that causes Allah Ta'ala unhappiness, gives Allah Ta'ala anger. So when we do an action, for example, you go to an alim to hear something he's saying, then think he said something, that Allah Ta'ala is unhappy with this action, then should we do that action? Of course not. We should leave it, because Allah is unhappy. I'll tell you an action. Everyone please listen. And I'm telling you this for your benefit. If you displease Allah, make Allah unhappy in Ramadan, what's the benefit? There's no point, is there? So I'll tell you, you won't be unhappy, will you, if I give you an advice, that don't do this action in Ramadan. Allah is very unhappy. What is that? To cut the beard or to trim the beard. To shave the beard or to trim the beard or to shorten the beard.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so unhappy with that individual. The Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his time, a group of people came, and they were Majusi, fire worshippers, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw them for the first time. The Sahaba saw them for the first time in their life. They didn't know that there were such people, that their beards had been shaven. They were clean shaven. And Allah's Nabi, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that this qawm, immediately tell them to leave. May not be that Allah ta'ala's adab comes on Madinatul Munawwara. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned his face from them. He turned his face, his blessed face. Tell me what a big sin it must be that they were doing. They were committing a big sin. To do what? To shave their beard. To cut their beard. To trim their beard. Less than one fist length. For that person, the Aima Mujtahideen, our four Mujtahideen, the four Imams of Fiqh, have said that this individual is a Fasiq, evildoer. So tell me, what fast is there for the Fasiq who doesn't have the beard? What fast is there for the, what Salah is there for the Fasiq? What Quran recitation is there for the Fasiq? Think yourselves. Let's think ourselves. How is Shaitan inserted into our hearts and minds a thought that we don't consider a sin as a sin? Allahu Akbar. And we do Hajj, and we do Umrah in the same way, and we do all our ibadat, worship in the same way. When it's clearly stated, clearly mutafaqqa alayh, mutafaqqa, agreed by all the Sahaba ikram, all of the scholars, everyone in history of the scholarly levels, that we have to keep the beard minimum one fist length to please Allah. No, I look in the mirror, am I beautiful, am I handsome? Oh, my hairs are coming out from here, it doesn't look good. Forget that drama. I know that nobody likes this. And I know whatever the world says, let them say. That's why in heaven there will be no beard. Everyone will be clean shaven. There will be no beard in paradise. But this is Allah hukam in this world. That will there be fasting in Jannah? No. In paradise will there be prayer? No. There will be nothing. In Jannah there will just be women and you and mashallah eating and drinking and enjoyment. So here, that Allah Ta'ala has given us, is just we need to see that Allah wants to test us, that is this person obeying my orders? Or is he obeying his desires, his nafs? Now our nafs, Allah Ta'ala has given us the hukam, and we go against Allah Ta'ala's hukam, Allah's orders. So Allah is displeased or not? Tell me, when is Allah displeased, unhappy? At that time, Allahu Akbar. In every moment that hundreds of thousands of people are being forgiven in this month, blessed time, and that person's name is not included who is displeasing Allah for a few hairs, for a few strands and lengths of his. Yes, that we have a few hairs, but we don't lengthen the beard. The beard has to be minimum one fist length. Every day look in the mirror, don't look at beauty, handsomeness. Am I an actor? Do I look good? Do people think I look good? Do people like me? No, forget that. What do we look at? That is my beard less than one fist length in length? Measure it every day. When you measure your beard, then the angels of Allah will send du'as of rahmah for you. That look at how he is being cautious to implement Allah Ta'ala's orders. Look how much he loves Allah. Subhanallah. So this is the hukum for that individual, that you can ask the scholars, the respected honorable scholars, that a person, even to do adhan, he is not allowed to do adhan. And even the scholars stated that you cannot include that person in the first row in the salah, because he's a fasik and he spoils the salah of other people. The person who doesn't fulfill the beard, minimum beard length, is a fasiq. Even some of my brothers, let's do tawbah, repent from this, otherwise our Ramadan will be wasted or not. But whose order is this? My order? Is it some government's order? No. So it's the order of Rabbul Alameen, who gives us food, clothes to wear, who's given us Ramadan, the great month of Ramadan. Allah has prepared Ramadan for us, given us all the beauty of Ramadan that we can be saved from Jahannam, and Allah gives us paradise. That's all we need to understand. That Allah has given a hukum, order. Now whose order is this? Is this a man's order? Is it a human being? No, this is Allah's order. Allah's order. Ooh, and that's how much khawf should come into us. This is Allah's order. Yes, it's Allah's order. In the whole Quran, the scholars, they've said in the kitabs are there, this is Allah's hukam, that keep the beard minimum one fist length. Yes, so 15 Ramadan, 15 days ago. So do we will make intention, brothers? Yes, what will happen if we make intention? That our bodies, we are living in this world, we are here for one thing, that's it. Every second we should have one concern, is Allah happy with us? May Allah not be unhappy with us. May Allah not be unhappy with us. That's the one worry we should have all the time. That person is not praying salah if Allah is unhappy with that person. He hasn't got salah. That Quran is not Quran. The Quran says itself. There are some people who pray, read Quran, and I send la'na on them. Curse on them. That haji is not haji who doesn't obey Allah Ta'ala's orders. Yes, it's wasting time. Allah Ta'ala throws the hajj back in the face. Why? Because the objective is salah. Is that salah through which Allah is pleased? Then we can say salah. Isn't it? Umrah is that Umrah through which Allah Ta'ala is happy. Is that Quran that recitation through which Allah Ta'ala is happy? Isn't it? Ramadan is that Ramadan in which Allah Ta'ala is happy with us. Such a big hadith. Allah Ta'ala says that I want you to fast. I need your fast, the genuine fast. What does Allah Ta'ala want? Our fast. And Allah says that your fast, I don't want you to stay hungry and thirsty. Rather, what does it mean here? That Allah Ta'ala says that those things I've told you to refrain from during fasting, if you refrain from those, then you'll get the reward of fast. But if we just think that from sunrise to sunset, I've not eaten anything, I'm a fasting person, Allah says Himself that I do not define you as the fasting person. No. That after fasting, if you disobey my orders and you displease me, you make me unhappy, Allah says you can stay hungry, you can stay thirsty, don't drink water, but I have no link with that person. Allah says, no link with that action. That's it, I have no link with that action. You may have kept the fast and be hungry, but you're lying on top of that, and you're consuming haram, and you're running a haram business, and you're displeasing Allah. These are all hadith, my friends, hadith. So now we need to understand such a big ibadah, which will give us bakshish, forgiveness, 100% forgiveness. Allah said that every person who in Ramadan with Iman, Allah has entered us into Ramadan with Iman, Allah has given us Iman and Allah has given us Istar, and we prayed Taraweeh and we've entered into Ramadan, we've done the good actions and he's kept the fast correctly, and I've defined to you, isn't it? I've told you what's the correct fast, not just leaving food and drink, but in that day he's not committed any sin, he's not displeased Allah, but we are shaving the beard, we are cutting the beard. So then all we are doing then is dieting, staying hungry and thirsty. Allah's not forcing us now to say, Allah, I'm fasting. Allah says, I'm not forcing you to fast. I'm not forcing you not to eat and drink. No, Allah, I've not eaten, drank anything. I've fasted. Allah says, this is not the fast. Who are you to tell me that you have fasted? Allah Ta'ala is telling us the definition. Allah says, you haven't fasted. So what is this deen? The here we are wretched and we're wretched there as well. Don't you understand what I'm saying? So today, why is this all happening, my brothers? Because we have a desire inside. Why do we have a desire like this? Why do we do this? Oh, I'm young. I want to look young. Oh, I want to look handsome and beautiful. And what will people say that I've become a Maulvi? Imagine. That if I keep the beard, oh, I'll keep the beard this less. Otherwise people laugh, he's got a long beard. And this is not our the basis, the criteria. If we come to pray Salah, we'll pray Salah the way Allah Ta'ala has told us to pray Salah, isn't it? Yes, not that, oh, you'll turn your face that way, I don't feel like today, I feel like I face this way, Msab's here, and he's facing that, I'll face another way, and he stood, I'll sit down and pray today, the way I want. People ask him dua, and he's doing sujood at that time, salah is finished. Will your salah be accepted? No, you have to follow the tartib, the method, because we're not doing it according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's demand and requirements. So Allah Ta'ala has given us Ramadan and fast, and if we don't do it according to Allah Ta'ala's telling us, then how can we be fasting? We haven't fulfilled. Let's use logic as an argument here, or reasoning. Therefore, say, no, I've prayed Salah. Allah says, that's your definition. You think you're better in knowledge? I've prayed Salah, I say. But Allah says, then you have to make your face the correct way. You say, no, you do what you want. I'm not going to do that. So don't spoil your fast, brothers. There are criteria for every action, especially for fasting. We need to be steadfast in fasting. Why have we done all of this? Because we are fulfilling our desires. So for example, if I say that I'll lie for this reason, or I'll shave my beard or trim my beard, okay, why am I consuming haram? Why am I lying to earn haram? Why am I committing fraud? Why am I consuming people's money? Why am I breaking promises? What's behind all of this? The desire of the human being. If I take his money, I'll become rich. If I trick him, I'll become rich. If I lie to him, then I'll succeed. Lying. The biggest sin, and we cannot be mu'min if we lie. We cannot be. That if I lie, then I'll succeed and I'll become wealthy. And why am I lying? Because I also do dhikr, I follow the sunnah, I pray salah. If I lie a little bit, so what difference does it make? We say, this is not deen of Islam, my friends. If we lie, we are doing that action. That is the worst of actions, which causes extreme displeasure of Allah. It earns displeasure of Allah. No? Do you understand what I'm saying, or you don't understand what I'm saying? So deen isn't the deen of our desires and opinions. We are destroying our deen. We don't stay on one side, on the right side or the left side. No. We're not on the right, on the left. We're not following the right path. We're following our own deen. And then we say to people, tell me I'm pious. We say to the wife, call me pious and tell people I'm pious. The wife says, you're not pious. You commit excesses against me. You oppress me. You make me unhappy. No. How dare you tell anyone? Tell them I'm pious, I'm good, and I'm upright. And phone people and tell them that I'm good. Don't ever tell them I do wrong. So Allah is Khabir and Basir. This is a big ni'mah. 15 fasts, is it 15? Possibly they've gone. But the situation is what here? That inshallah, if we do tawbah today, then all of the previous fasts that we wasted, they will also return. They will also be compensated for. Rather, not just these in this month, but all the previous Ramadans, because Allah's rahmah is very vast. All of the Ramadans that passed, we passed Ramadan in a nice way. If we committed sins before, Allah Ta'ala will return those to us as well and give us the rewards. So remember that Ramadan, it has come to teach us to leave haram and sins. And now, if for example our desires, if we suppress them, then sins will be removed. So as I was saying, that Allah Ta'ala has given us a wazifa, a lesson. Will we do that wazifa, my friends? Will we recite and implement that lesson? And if we do that, then we'll start to practice the deen of Allah. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, as a narrated hadith in Musnad Ahmad, and is present in Fazail Amal as well, in which Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu has narrated this great, beautiful hadith. And Abu Huraira, qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he narrated this hadith that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Allah Ta'ala has said, this is the way that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented this hadith to us, subhanallah. That yathkuruna, Rabbi, Allah Ta'ala has told us, our Rabb, our Lord has told us, adhkuruni. Allah Ta'ala stated, اذكروني بعد الفجر بعد العصر ساعة أكفك أكفيما بينما سبحان الله. So the meaning of this hadith, أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, this is the wazifa, the lesson. Allah Ta'ala has given this wazifa to the ummah, that do one action. Do one action. What is that? That such a big wazifa, I'm giving to you a lesson. Subhanallah. That all your desires will be fulfilled. Yeah, if you want to become a king, I'll make you a king. If you want all the kingdoms, I'll give you the kingdoms. All of them will come to you. Whatever is your desire, whatever your needs, I'm your Rabb. Qadir Mutlaq, Allah says, I'm telling you. What a great promise, that all of your desires and needs and wants, I'll fulfill them. Akfika, Allah says, I'll become your kafil, your sponsor, responsible for you totally. That's it. I'll become your guarantor. I'll be responsible for you. Do this wazifa. Adhkuruni ba'dul fajr sa'atan. Just for a while. Subhanallah. Just do this action, that after every Fajr Salah and after every Asr Salah, remember me for a little while. Allah Ta'ala says, Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. That's all Allah Ta'ala is asking from us. So simple a method. Satan, Allah says. Not do 4 hours, 5 hours. No, just for a few moments, sit and remember me, Allah Ta'ala says. Just do one tasbih. Recite one tasbih. Close your eyes and in your heart say 3 times, Allah, 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 and you'll become the dhakirin. The dhakirin, you'll become from those who remember Allah. Tell me, now me and you, I ask ourselves that Allah, our Rabb, Rabbul Alameen, has given us such a big wazifa that every human being, subhanallah, everyone whose desires can be fulfilled, how unfortunate it will be, and how sad and unfortunate, that how many people do this action that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed to us. He's given us a prescription. We'll pray Fajr, Skapa. Asr, Skapa. Run away. From today, promise, solid, that as soon as we pray Asr or Fajr, wherever we pray, Alhamdulillah, wherever we are, I will tell you the wazifa, and just recite this wazifa, this lesson, this prescription, this prayer, this dhikr, and just a little bit. If we start this, then at least we'll be included amongst those who do the dhikr of Allah, and Allah will fulfill our wants and needs and desires. Just a minimum. Yes, a minimum that 3 times subhanallah we should recite. 3 times. How many times? 3 times. And once recite durood sharif after fajr and after asr. 3 times subhanallah, once durood, alhamdulillah, will be amongst the dhakirin. Those who remember Allah. This is a big prescription. A big wazifa. Such a small wazifa. Who's prescribed this for us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah. And the more you sweet you put in, the more sugar you put in, the more sweet is the tea. And then your love will increase. Alhamdulillah. You know what I've told you to recite 3 times subhanallah? Is subhanallah a minor recitation? A minor dhikr? No. My brother, subhanallah is that recitation, that prayer, that wahid. In Jannah, all ibadah, all worship will cease, stop. But there'll be one thing left in Jannah that every person in paradise will be reciting. Subhanallah will be reciting. Subhanallah. Everyone will be reciting this. This is such a great kalima, such a great dhikr of Allah, that on the tongues of the people in Jannah, the Jannatis, there'll be no recitation. By everywhere, what will be reverberating? Which kalima? That, for example, you want to order food, somebody who's your khadim, you'll say subhanallah. And inside you, there'll be desire, and all your desires will be fulfilled through you saying subhanallah. Yes, wahid, the one kalima, this is the one kalima. And every moment it should be on our tongues. Every moment, the rewards of this, what can I say to you? Because we have to do dhikr, alhamdulillah, now. This is such a great kalima, such a great dhikr, subhanallah, that we cannot imagine. But Allah Ta'ala's karam and mercy, that the most valuable of things, Allah Ta'ala shortened it and given it to us in a concise form, so that the child in my ummah can say this, said Rasulullah SAW, so that the child can benefit, subhanallah. We see this, this is the status of a mu'min. Every time from our mouths comes subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. When we say something good, we say subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. What do we know what we are earning when we state this? We'll see this in the after. I prayed tahajjud, I did good actions, everything we'll see. Allah Ta'ala will say, forget all of this, get back and count this. How many times did he recite subhanallah in his life? Allah will order the angel to count. Because everything, there was riya, showing of pride, etc. Allah says there was impure things. But when he said subhanallah, then this used to be khalis, because he didn't know. And he knew he was praising Allah, everything was being collected. Come, I will show you the how great is Jannah, Allah will say at that time. Subhanallah. But Allah is so kareem and so merciful with his rahmah and his mercy. Say subhanallah again. Every time subhanallah comes out of our mouths. And what do we know what we'll get for this? Because there's ikhlas in this. There's no showing off. There's no pride in this. It's not fake. It's coming out of ikhlas in it, subhanallah. And the value of this, I've told you that Jannah is nothing in Jannah. There will be no recitation except for this kalima. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala stated, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Tell my Ummah, recite this wazifa, this prescription. Morning and evening, do the dhikr of Allah. So for dhikr, Allah Ta'ala has put a long line of rewards, such great kalimats, recitations. Select them yourself what you want to recite. But I have selected for you those kalimats that I like, Allah likes, Allah's Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also likes. And you've said subhanallah again, mashallah. Yes, so will we do this, brothers? Inshallah, true promise, Ramadan. And then the next Ramadan, inshallah, we'll meet again. If not here, then in Jannah. Subhanallah. Because we are Jannatis, isn't it? Those people who come in Ramadan, then they have Jannah with the fadl of Allah. Isn't it? What else? So we are Jannatis, mashallah, sitting here with the stamps of Jannah. Allah's promised in Ramadan. So those things I've said today, let's share them. Let's annihilate the sins. Let's correct our Ramadan. Eliminate the sins we've discussed. And after that, we'll see what happens after. If we sin again, then fair enough. But at least in Ramadan, this promise that I am going to say loudly, not do these sins. Solid promise? Put your hands up at least. Yes, shabash, mashallah. See, a little bit of hope, intention, mashallah, has given us courage, determination. So 15 days, don't touch your faces. Say, this is Allah's face. This is not mine. Allah's told me, adore it. How to do it. If Allah Ta'ala wants that, He could, for example, disfigure our faces. Acid could come into our faces, or it could be disfigured, or my nose could twist, my eyes could suddenly, I could become blind. Allah Ta'ala is in His in hand, control is my face. I could have an accident and become disfigured. So we should say, Allah, that after today I won't touch my face, I will not spoil my face, this is your face, and I will adorn it the way you've instructed, and we'll come to eat like this, okay? Adorn the face. After that we'll meet inshallah. Yes, proper meeting. Yes, that's it. So the wazifa, I've told you that every Fajr and Asr after this Salah, Allah says, the akfika, this is my promise to the individual, that I will be the kafil of the individual, sponsor, guarantee, and I will give him the rewards. And if he's driving a taxi, then eventually he'll fly a plane. This is Allah's kafalat. Allah is responsible for that person. If he's sitting in a house on rent, inshallah, in the next Ramadan, he'll have a house. And he'll be taking the rent from the tenants after that. Subhanallah. This is the promise from Allah. I'm reminding you that today your position, inshallah, you'll be in a better position. This is the promise of Allah in Ramadan. That if in the whole of Ramadan you do this, the correct action, just like the few points, advices, Allah says, I'll become your kafil. And if Allah becomes the kafil, can anybody touch that person? Tell me, no. Can anybody become an enemy of that person? No. Can anybody seize that person's rizq? No, the question doesn't arise. Because whatever Allah Ta'ala does, Allah Ta'ala says, He does those things. So let's make a solid promise that the world can turn upside down. But from today, I'll fulfill Allah Ta'ala's order. Shall we start from today? We prayed Asr. Okay, so let's do dhikr first. Alhamdulillah. And we'll start this action from today, tomorrow, the day after. Whatever happens, we'll do dhikr first after Fajr and Asr. Dhikr first. Everything is dhikr. Salah is dhikr. Quran is dhikr. Tilawat is dhikr. Tabligh. Not those dhikr. Dhikr Allah. Recitation. That Allah's name comes out during that process. Allah's name is recited. Inshallah, in our next meeting we'll meet and I'll explain what is akfika, what is the meaning of this, how does Allah give this, and what is the meaning of kafalat, sponsorship. Then you will sway, because I'll explain to you the meaning of how is Allah Ta'ala become the kafil, the sponsor. Say subhanallah. May Allah Ta'ala accept. Ameen.